This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Let's start off with a shout out. One More Nightmare, the author, also has a YouTube channel. His information will be down below. Now, this story is about this reporter who is investigating things that he probably should not. Do you like vigilante stories, movies, superheroes, Good Samaritans? What happens when this Good Samaritan is really something dark and evil? Sit back, relax, dim the lights, grab yourself something to eat because it's going to be a long one, and let's get spooky. His apartment was trashed, papers scattered, furniture upended, and the faint hint of a struggle lingered in the air. An unexpected breeze pulled my attention to the open window. A pool of water gathered on the floorboards from the heavy rain outside. He could have left it open, so it was probably nothing, but I mentally noted it anyways. I gently guided the apartment door shut behind me, careful to avoid any unnecessary attention from noisy neighbors, and slowly stepped into Jonah's sixth floor apartment. As a seasoned reporter, the pulse of the city had often led me into the heart of its mysteries. But this time, the enigma hit closer to home. Over a week had passed since my colleague vanished into thin air. Their unexpected extended absence had me concerned, as had their last message to me. A missed call, a voicemail, a clue. There had been nothing, just static and background banging for nearly 20 seconds. I thought he must have drunk dialed me by accident and almost deleted the message without finishing it. Then his voice came through and he just said, "The cat," before a large explosion sounded and the message cut off. Initially, I thought the message was weird, and I intended to ask him about it when I saw him next. I didn't know at the time that he would never be seen again. And now, standing in his living room and looking into the bedroom of his downtown apartment, I found the source of the sound I had heard in the message. His bedroom door lay in splinters, small fragments littering his carpeted floor and bed, hinges holding on to the stubborn remains. I carefully tiptoed in and surveyed the mess, shining my small LED flashlight around the room. Then, I saw the blood. I immediately called the police, and while on the phone, I continued shining the light around the room, describing the scene to the operator. The reason I had initially missed the blood was that it was on the ceiling, along with a huge indentation, like something large had been slammed into the plasterboard above the bed. The blood splattered, then streaked towards the left wall and down the side, like someone had dragged a bloody mop across the ceiling and down the wall. That's when I noticed the framed picture on the floor, the picture of his childhood cat. I immediately tiptoed over to the picture, holding my phone to my ear while I tried not to contaminate the now evident crime scene. I heard sirens in the distance, slowly growing louder, so I hung up on the operator, sliding the phone into my pocket and pulling out a set of gloves. I slid them expertly over my hands, placed my flashlight into my mouth, then picked up the frame. The glass was cracked. The bottom corner dented slightly. I figured it fell from the bedside table, knocked off in the commotion that had left the room in this current state. I flipped it over and immediately noticed that 8 of the 10 black tabs that had the rear of the frame in place had been straightened out, as if someone had removed it and hastily put it back on. I straightened the last tabs and pulled the back off with the wiggle, and a micro SD card fell to the floor. Quickly grabbed it, I put it in a small Ziploc bag, then placed that into a hidden pocket in my coat. I replaced the back of the frame, then repositioned it approximately where I'd found it, before heading out the corridor to meet the arriving police officers. The police questioned me for a while, but were satisfied at my explanation of why I'd gone to Jonah's apartment and, essentially, picked his lock and broke in. I probably got more leniency than others would have, as I'd worked with both attending officers in the past in my capacity as a reporter, so they knew who both Jonah and I were. That still didn't mean I didn't get the obligatory "Don't leave town," and "We will have more questions for you" threats. But overall, I was out of there within an hour. I immediately plugged the card into my card reader when I got home. Jonah had taken the time to hide this before he disappeared, and I think that he wanted me to find it. That's why he called me. And what was on there left me shaken and fearing for my life. Files dating back to the 5th of December, about a new story he was working on. A story I wish he never got me involved in. The first files on the SD card were text files. I haven't included all of them, just the ones related to this case. 12/5/2023. My source, JG, from within the downtown police precinct, contacted me yesterday. Apparently, there are growing concerns within the police HQ about a gang war building up in the city. They have been keeping it quiet, directed by the mayor, apparently. I guess they didn't want it to get out. Election year, so no surprises there. JG provided some photos of a crime scene. There were bodies of some low-level drug dealers dead in an alley. The bodies were mutilated, torn apart in some cases. Some close-ups shown burn marks and signals of torture. I don't know how they managed to keep something as horrific as this under wraps, but this was definitely the first time I had heard of anything like this in the past few years. At least to this level of brutality. JG also provided some reports on the deceased. It confirmed that they were low-level criminals with rap sheets that included drug dealing, motor vehicle theft, breaking and entering, and assault being the highlights of their criminal past. Real scum. JG said he is not so sure this is a gang war. No other gang had taken responsibility for the crime, which would normally happen, and informants had not backed up the claim. He thinks something else may have been at play here, but he has no evidence yet. He had asked me to sit on this for a while so he could try to find out more from his end. If a report gets out now, they will know someone had leaked it from the department, and it will be harder to find out more. He asked me to do some investigating from my end, see what I could find out. 12/12/2023. I just got off a call with John Burgess. Seems he's working for Wright Security now. Quick chat about the old college days. But I could tell he had something else he wanted to tell me. His call came in just after midnight. Told me he mostly does the night shift for them, driving around factories in the industrial area not far from the pier. He said they are mostly empty factories nowadays, only a handful still in operation. His role is mostly just to chase off teenagers looking for a place to drink, do drugs, property damage, that sort of thing. but tonight, he heard gunfire coming from one factory which is not on his rounds. It is a large, three-storied red brick factory that he drives past a few times on his normal route. He said it always has lights on, and there are usually a few unbranded trucks and some nice corporate-looking cars parked out front. It has the typical big fence and secure gates like all the other factories in the area. He said he parked slightly up the road and left.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
The car running while he called the police. He stood next to his car while he waited and watched as he saw lights in the windows flicking off one by one. The gunfire continued, but over the next few minutes it slowly faded out until the large factory stood in darkness, all lights off, and the night went silent. That silence was shattered when the front door suddenly burst open. The man came running out screaming. He made it about 10 meters when, in John's words, his legs violently snapped together and he went flying, his face slamming into the pavement. He looked dazed, likely concussed, as he laid on the ground. He seemed to be reaching, clumsily, for his feet, before his legs snapped straight and his head slammed to the ground again, and he was dragged feet first all the way back into the dark doorway, as if he was attached to a rope. John said he just stood there next to his car in stunned silence as sirens cut through the night, blue and red lights illuminating the surrounding buildings as the police got closer, forcing the darkness to creep back. One last thing. Just before the police arrived, John noticed a figure standing on the roof of the factory. And he swears on his life that the figure jumped from the roof and glided away. 12/13/23. I followed up with JG at the police precinct. He didn't attend the scene, but he had heard stories from colleagues around the station already. He said it was all very hush-hush, but it seemed like victims were members of a small-time drug cartel that operated out of the factory. 12/16/2023. I reached out to an informant, known as HD, that I had worked with a few times in the past. He seemed hesitant and rushed, but money talks, so agreed to meet me earlier tonight, but nowhere near downtown. We met where the outer suburbs of the city turned into rolling fields of farmland at a well-known 24-hour truck stop diner. I hopped out of the yellow cab, rain pelting me as I jogged through puddles to the front door and entered. Its retro modern 1960s decor felt inadvertently chaotic rather than deliberately nostalgic. I spotted my informants sitting in a booth near the back, so I made my way over to them. As I settled into the well-loved red leather booth, I barely had time to get comfortable before the waitress appeared, carrying a glass jug of black coffee. She poured us both a cup, took my order for a slice of pie, then made her way back behind the counter. I pulled out a small roll of cash and slid it over to HD before asking him if it was okay if I recorded this, but he said no, it'll be quick. He told me something is brewing, something big. It seems to have some gangs a little riled up, worried even, and some of them have been tightening up the last couple of months. He had heard whispers of a new gang in town, potentially South American or Middle Eastern, that have been brutally taking out some low-level thugs and dealers. But he isn't sure. There was nothing he had heard on the street to support this. He told me to look into something that went down at the port 7 weeks back. It was the first time he caught wind that something was going down in the city. The foreman who was the first on the scene was called Jordan. With that, HD stood up and started walking away before he stopped next to me. He was looking at the ground, not making eye contact. "I'm leaving town for a bit," he said to me, still averting his eyes. "Whatever this is, gang, vigilante, crazy billionaire looking for a thrill, they're going for people like me, not you. Still, be careful you don't poke the bear." With that, he walked out of the diner as the waitress brought over the slice of pie. I sat there in quiet contemplation, staring at the running rivers on the window the rain had created as I mulled over what HD had said. Something had spooked him enough to leave town. I think he knew more than what he had said directly, but left me enough in between the lines to know this was serious. 12/17/2023. I called Jordan's manager earlier today, who informed me that he was going to be in after 9, working the late shift. Works for me. I pulled up to the ports around 10. Thankful for the brief reprieve from the rain. The guard on duty was happy enough with my reporter credentials to let me in, and the fact I name-dropped Jordan and his manager probably didn't hurt either. I found Jordan in the main office, where the guard had said he would be, and told him I had spoken with his manager earlier, and that I just had a few questions about an incident at the docks a couple of months back. He immediately stiffened and looked on edge and nervous, even before I told him what incident it was. Obviously, this incident had really shaken him. In all my years doing this, I had become pretty good at reading people, and what I read in Jordan right now was fear. I eventually managed to calm him with some language and tonal techniques I had learned, and he finally started opening up to me. He told me that he had been persuaded by the police to say that the incident in question was a weapons bust that had went wrong, ending in a large gunfight and multiple casualties. It drove him to the brink of quitting his job, and when I asked why he didn't, he said he had a mortgage and kids, and all the job markets want is 20-something-year-olds, not 55-year-olds with a bad back. I sensed that Jordan had relaxed enough for me to ask if I could record the conversation from here on, which he gave me permission for. Below is the part, the transcription from that conversation. "Do the ports ever shut down?" I asked. "Nope, they run 24/7. There's always people around," he replied. "And was there anything special about that night?" "No, nothing. It was a standard Tuesday night until it all went crazy," he said. "Okay, can you start from there? What happened that made that night go, as you call, crazy?" "I was overseeing a ship being unloaded. A large shipment from China, probably some cheap TVs or something. When the power cut out. It had been raining pretty hard, and windy too, so I wasn't too surprised. Then reports started coming in over the radio of a commotion in one of the warehouses, shooting and screaming, that sort of thing. I started making my way there, and I heard gunfire coming from that direction. I initially thought it was an attack, like a terrorist attack type thing. I radioed the boys in the office and said to call the police immediately." "Then?" I prompted after a moment's silence. The gunfire slowed, then eventually stopped altogether, and not long after that, the power came back on. Another staff member, Jason Todd, was near the warehouse already. He and I went in together to investigate. It was dumb. We should have waited for the cops, I know, but I had this intense curiosity as to what the F had just happened. There were bodies, skinned, hanging from hooks in the warehouse everywhere. Most had a different weapon shoved into their mouths and down their throats, like some ruthless message or evil gang calling card. One poor guy, he was still alive, but barely. He kept mumbling about a black demon over and over until he bled out in front of us. Jason quit the next day, moved across the country as far as he could. I don't blame him. After taking all that in, I asked Jordan if he could take me to the warehouse so I could see where it all happened. He was hesitant, said the police only just removed the tape, but I eventually managed to convince him. Jordan led me there, but refused to come in himself. He said that I had 10 minutes, then I needed to go. I agreed, then entered the warehouse. Even in the dim light, I could clearly see bloodstains decorating the wall.
Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12-powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
Splintered crates created a maze to navigate, and the hooks where the bodies hung were draped in police tape. I took a lot of photos before climbing a ladder to the top walkway near the rear of the warehouse. There, I found what looked like some evidence that the police had missed. A black, thin, membranous material about the size of my palm caught on a protruding nail. I don't know why, but I immediately thought that it could be from a cape. 12/23/2023. I sent that piece of material I found in the warehouse to a lab to see if they could tell me anything more about it. I got the results back today, inconclusive. Though they did say it was old, really old, maybe 500 to 1,000 years old. There was also a news report on TV last night. It was of someone saving a couple from an assault from a group of thugs. Assaults and muggings are far too common in the city, but someone stepping in to help is almost unheard of. And when it came down to the description, I really perked my ears up. They said it was someone dressed in all black, with a black cape on, that attacked the assailants, leaving the couple to flee to safety. When the police attended the scene, the assailants had been beaten to death and that they were appealing for witnesses. Good luck with that. The news report finished with a comment from a local shop owner which, according to the running banner across the bottom of the screen, had been robbed 3 times in the past year. The shop owner said the cops have failed at their job and criminals aren't scared of the law. But now, he says, there is a guardian angel looking after the city, someone the criminals fear, cleaning up the streets. 12/29/2023. I have spent the last week reviewing all reported murder cases and news reports for the last 3 months, and I am starting to see a pattern that no one else had reported on yet. There have been multiple seemingly unrelated cases that have either been written off as a drug deal gone wrong, a territorial gang fight, or an accident. One particularly brutal case, a meth house that had been ransacked and 6 drug dealers slaughtered. One of the leaders had been found with his forearm snapped, the protruding forearm bones shoved up and through his eyes, while another had been force-fed raw mixing chemicals until his internal organs had burnt and shut down. But it wasn't until I put all the different reports out on a map that I realized that this was all happening within a 10-mile radius. This was happening in the west of the city, an area with a mix of low-level residential lots, government high-rise public housing complexes, and industrial parks. It was a lower socioeconomic part of the city, with a high crime rate and little hope. So tonight, I jumped online and I booked a hotel right in the middle of it all. Even nearing NYE, it was easy to find a vacant room, and this area is not exactly a holiday destination. 12:30, 2023. I checked into the hotel and decided to head straight out. Night had fallen already, and cold air flew heavy and dark clouds rolled overhead. A few splatters of rain had started falling, rippling in the puddles of the sidewalk that were still fresh from the last downpour earlier today. The area had a dangerous aura. Shop fronts boarded up, decorated in local graffiti designs. Trash and used needles littered the sidewalk, dim street lamps buzzing, barely illuminating the street. But I grew up in a similar area, so knew how to present myself to avoid eye contact. One block down, and I was in the red light district. The prostitutes haggling for my money were the first people I saw for the night. A pimp yelled something at me as I passed by his girls, but I just ignored him and continued walking. I did notice that some of the girls looked young. Too young, if you know what I mean. Further down a side street, I heard yelling and smashing bottles. I decided to avoid that area and kept moving. The rain was getting heavier by the time I came across a dirty-looking pub wedged in between two boarded-up shops a block or so later, so I decided ahead to get out of the rain and grab some food and a drink. The inside of the pub was dark and smoky, and my feet stuck to the carpet as I walked over to the bar. The bartender was a rough-looking guy, shaven head with neck tattoos that disappeared underneath his stained white shirt. Judging by the smell, I don't think he had showered or changed that shirt for some time. But he looked like the kind of guy that knows things. So I buy me a drink and a shot for him and start up a conversation. Diving right in, I asked him if he's heard anything about the murders in the area lately. And the first thing he asked me if I was a cop. But he opens up pretty quickly, telling me that he's heard a lot. Heard it was some new gang. Heard it was a secret police unit sent in to clean up the streets. And also heard it was some wannabe vigilante out for revenge or something. That last one was what he thinks it is. His cousin saw him, the vigilante. Dressed in all black with face covered and a big jacket or something. When I asked him if it could have been a cape, he shrugs and says, "Yeah, could be." His cousin didn't get a good look at him though, said he slid into the shadows and completely disappeared, like he had merged with the darkness. But we heard the next day that some local mafia family had been gutted and torn up, and it was in the area he had seen the vigilante. Apparently, one rookie cop had been overheard saying it looked like wolves had torn the throats out of the victims. They had been shooting at something, shooting a lot by all accounts. But they must have been shooting at ghosts, because there was no blood or bodies of anyone aside from the mafia family. I asked him if he remembered where that was, and he did. It was only a few blocks away. An empty office block, boarded up and blocked off, though rough sleepers were known to camp out there. I thanked him, finished my drink, and headed off to the office block. I found the building, silhouetted against the city backdrop, located on a dark and lifeless street. It was an older building, maybe 50s or late 40s. The facade chipped and paint peeled or covered in colorful yet lazy tags. The rain slammed into the side of the building, water cascading down the front like a glassy waterfall. A rusty temporary fence had been erected, years ago by the looks of it, encircling the building. But it didn't take me long to find an opening I could easily fit through. I jimmied a door open and ducked inside. I made my way to the first escape stairwell and headed up to the fifth floor, where he said it happened. When I got there, I saw what he meant. Bullet holes riddled the walls and casings littered the floor like a massive shootout had taken place. Blood stained the carpet, furniture, and ceiling tiles were scattered everywhere. The rain was coming into the building through some windows that had been left smashed, glass littering the floor. I took a few photos, made lots of notes, and go to leave when something hits me. I walked back to the area near the broken windows, trying to work out what it was that was out of place when it hits me. Out of the four smashed windows, only one had glass littering the ground from in front of it. Three of the windows had been shot outward, where the glass had must have rained down on the pavement below. The fourth window had been smashed inwards, like something had come into the building through the window on the fifth floor. Something big. 12/31/2023. I spent the day going through the cases and making notes. Later, I celebrated with a drink at my new favorite bar. 1/3/2024. The last few nights have been quiet. I've tried talking to other local vendors, but most ignore me or tell me they know nothing. I did see one enthusiastic street preacher, a large sign around his neck, yelling something about a new savior cleaning up the streets. The sign said, "The night is darkest just before the dawn, and I promise you, the dawn is coming." So, after an unsuccessful night, I decided to head back to my hotel, ready to turn in. But just as I was coming up to the red light district, I heard an ear-piercing scream come from one of the buildings. The door crashed open, and half a dozen or so girls came running out. I heard gunfire in the building and more screams, before a window on the third floor shattered and someone came flying out, falling to the ground with a thud. They were badly injured but alive. A loud moan came from them. But before anyone could assist them, they were suddenly pulled back into the air and back inside the shattered window, as if their ankle was attached to a wire. Moments later, they came flying out again, hitting the ground head first with a huge crunching sound. This time, they were most certainly dead. I looked up and saw a looming silhouette in the window frame, broad, with two pointed horns on its head. It disappeared back inside as I tried to snap some photos. Moments later, a side window smashed open, and what looked like a caped crusader flew out of the side of the building. I started running after them, following them as they jumped from rooftop to rooftop towards the industrial park. Eventually, I watched as they glided into a fenced-off lot and disappear into an abandoned red brick factory. I tried to snap more photos during the chase, but it was too dark and stormy. The images, nothing but black, blurry silhouettes against the dark, cloudy backdrop. I've decided I'm going to come back tomorrow night with bolt cutters. Maybe, just maybe, I have found the vigilante's hideout. The last file on Jonah's SD card was an audio file. Big mistake. I'm effed. I'm so effed. This is no vigilante. No hero. It's not even human. Earlier tonight, around midnight, I cut the bolts on the gate and stuck into the factory. The first thing that hit me was the smell. The smell like a combination of a horse stable, sewerage plant, and slaughterhouse. The stench burning my nostrils. I couldn't block it out, even with my hand and sleeve covering my face. It was rancid. My phone flashlight barely illuminated the factory's vast interior, The walls and ceiling hidden beyond the light's reach, but the smell intensified as I moved forwards towards what I assumed to be the middle of the factory floor. As I continued scanning the large space, I started noticing haze scattered on the floor, my feet starting to crunch with each step I took. The layer of hay got thicker and thicker, becoming like a layer of bedding that covered the floor of the factory. Numerous crates encircled the area I was now in, stacked clumsily atop each other, creating a walled semi-encircle. Scattered in the middle of the large enclosure, I saw bones. Human bones. It was a nest. A giant frickin' nest. I wanted to get out of there as quickly as possible, so quickly turned on my phone camera to grab some pictures before making a haste exit, when something screeched in the darkness high above me. I switched off my phone screen, casting me in darkness before a loud thump sounded, like something heavy landed on the ground from a height. I immediately hid behind some crates, my eyes slowly adjusting to the darkness as moonlight started to filter through the high factory windows. I peeped between two large crates as a giant figure appeared from the darkness, walking in silence despite its large stature and dragging something along the ground behind it. The clouds outside cleared even more now, allowing bright moonlight to filter in as the vigilante moved past the crates I was hiding behind. The thing it dragged behind it was now in full view. I almost threw up on the spot as I saw terrified eyes staring back at me. Being dragged by the leg was a man's body that was missing one leg and both arms, blood trailing behind it. A look of pure terror and agony locked on his face. He blinked and coughed up blood, short, sharp breaths all he could muster. As the vigilante moved through the moonlight, I could now see it more clearly. What I started to believe was an armored suit of some description was actually its own leathery, cracked skin. The skin pulled tightly over its frame, its ribs clearly visible, and spiny, thorn-like protrusions ran up its arms and its shoulders. Dry wounds covering its body, with crude stitching scars across its chest and legs. The cape that flapped loosely behind it as it moved had dark veins running through it, and now appeared to be more like its own wings than a cape. Its face was like a deformed bat, its nose morphing into a protruding snout, elongated and jagged, housing rows of razor-sharp teeth that jutted out in a horrifying display. It had beady sunken eyes that glowed a dark yellow, and the skin on its head was stretched taut across its distorted skull, with two large ears on top. The vigilante's powerful clawed hands released the man's leg, and then dropped to its hands and knees. Its mouth stretched, its jaws dislocated like a snake, and it took a huge bite from the torso. The man's eyes widened in pain, a final moan escaping his lips before his eyes glazed over and he was still. The vigilante consumed the chunk of torso it just bit off, then went down to take another bite before it stopped suddenly, before it jerked its head up and sniffed the air. Its eyes started darting around the room as its body tensed, and I knew it could now sense me. In a panic, I reached into my pocket and pulled out a lighter. Knowing it was only a matter of time until it found me, I crouched down and set fire to the pile of dry hay and tried to distract it. The dry hay immediately lit up, the fire spreading much quicker than I anticipated, and two crates soon caught fire. The area was quickly cloaked in smoke, so I took my opportunity to run out the way I came in. Behind me, I heard the booming screech, one that rattled the windows, but I didn't dare look back. I came straight home and started packing, but in the middle of packing my bag, the power cut out. Surrounded by darkness, I glanced out the window, and froze. There, staring in the window at me, 13 floors up, was the vigilante, its two yellow eyes filled with rage. I locked myself in my room and recorded this, but I could hear it crashing around out there. It won't be long until it finds me, and I end up like all the others that have come across it. I should have listened to HD and never poked the bear. The recording came to an abrupt halt. Leaning back in my chair, I mulled over Jordan's compilation, my tired eyes receiving a rub for some relief. This has to be a prank, I mused inwardly. It couldn't possibly be true. Yet the meticulous nature of Jordan and the eerie silence in his apartment, the blood on the bedroom ceiling, his unexplained disappearance for over a week spoke volumes. Late into the night, my thoughts were scattered. The rain intensified outside, its booming rhythm adding to my distracted state. Shutting down my computer, I exited my office, shutting the door behind me, and navigated towards the kitchen. Passing through the living room, I closed an open window, silencing the uproar of rain and thunder thanks to the insulated double-glazed glass. In the kitchen, I raided the fridge, taking a gulp directly from a juice bottle before pouring a glass. Seated at the kitchen counter, I immersed myself in Facebook, diving into videos and grumbling at the intrusive mid-roll ads, all while the relentless rain battered the surroundings. The passing time blurred. Perhaps only 10 minutes slipped away before I snapped back to reality, realizing the heightened volume of the rain. Slipping my phone back into my pocket, I cautiously made my way back to the living room. As I rounded the corner, my eyes widened and my jaw locked. The window I had closed was now wide open again. I stepped back into the kitchen, eyes darting around before I reached the knife block, pulling the butcher's knife from it, then made my way to the window. Lightning crashed outside, illuminating the room temporarily as I made my way to the open window. My eyes scanned the room as I cautiously approached. As soon as I arrived, I slammed the window shut, this time flicking the lock and testing the window with a couple of tugs. Releasing the breath I was holding, I dropped my shoulders and relaxed a bit, my heart rate slowing back to normal, when I noticed a wet footprint on the floor. Tensing up again, I realized there was more footsteps making their way to my office, where the door now stood open. I ran to my office, pushing the door wide open with the knife raised in front of me. The room was empty. My laptop was gone. Suddenly, the rain intensified again, and I swung my head back towards the window. There, standing in my apartment, one clawed foot on the window's ledge, was the vigilante, its yellow orb eyes locked onto mine. I dropped the knife. A whimper escaped my mouth as it raised a blackened clawed finger to its lips in a shush motion, then turned and jumped from my apartment window into the darkness of the night. I share this with you here, thanks to the fact my laptop had been backed up in the cloud as soon as I had plugged the SD card into my computer. I know I am putting myself at great risk doing this, hence why I'm posting this from the airport lounge. I will be on a plane and far away from here by the time this is out there. The vigilante has been increasing its killings, and slowly reports have been picking up on the mainstream media. It still only kills those involved in crime, so you should be safe if you are innocent. But I worry what it will do once it's done with all the criminals, killed them all, or forced them out of the city. Will it move on to another city? Or will it start to target innocent civilians? Will you be the next target of the vigilante?